Our opening scripture is in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verses 23 to 26, and then we'll pray. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have again to hear from your word, Lord, together in fellowship, and that we can all be thinking of these things as we go about the week. Lord, we pray that these truths would sink deep in our hearts, Lord, and that we would learn more about you and learn how to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So this evening we are going to look at the topic of questions in the context of evangelism. So the title of tonight's message is Answering the Right Questions. Now Pastor James had already done a series on witnessing and having answers prepared for inquiring unbelievers when we were sharing the gospel, and these messages were on a Wednesday night too, I believe, so hopefully this will be in the same tradition, although I certainly can't speak with the same experience or knowledge, and I won't try to. I'm sure that some of the questions I'll cover tonight, they're common questions. There's only a few that we'll have time for. These come up so often that anybody who's done any amount of witnessing will surely have encountered them, all for the same reason. So Paul's words to Timothy that we just read in the epistle, the opening verses, contain both an encouragement and a warning. It's quite plain from both of Paul's letters to Timothy that the young pastor could expect contention, that there would be many naysayers who would come wanting only to dote about questions and strifes of words and bring profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. It's a given that if you preach the word of God to people at large, it will reach the ears of those who hate God, who are enemies of the cross, and they will go out of their way to assault what you say. Paul was instructing Timothy to be wary of their devices and quick to identify any conversation, any debate that went a step beyond questions that are asked in good faith, questions asked in order to know more about the Lord with an eager desire to understand and prove Scripture. So the Lord promises to bless such questions that are asked earnestly. He wants us to know Him after all. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, where the Lord gives us a promise in this regard. James 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We'll read an example of an earnest question to a soul winner now, as well in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. This is the disciple Philip. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He was asking, of course, about the book of Isaiah. He wanted some clarification there. The Ethiopian eunuch was seeking God with his whole heart. And as the Lord promised, he was granted the wisdom through Philip's preaching unto salvation, which, is, of course, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you'll go down now to verses 35 to 37. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see here in his enthusiasm to know, in the humility and the genuineness of his question, that his motives for asking were right. It was an intelligent and insightful question about Scripture. But loved ones, it will not always be so. Witnessing will attract the wrong kinds of questions. Turn with me now for an example of this in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. So this is the Lord's dealing with a certain man during his evangelism. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm sure he knew that off by heart, being a lawyer of the scriptures. And this is Jesus. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So here is a question asked without any intent of really knowing the truth. And the Lord Jesus gave this man, who should have known better, being a lawyer of the word, he gave him an unhelpful answer, because as we read in the next verses, as he gives him the parable of the Samaritan, that the man had no intention really of knowing Jesus Christ. He was only looking for a way to justify himself. And so Jesus wasn't prepared to give him an answer because the man was not prepared in his heart to receive an answer. He was not ready to believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to eternal life. He wanted to excuse his willful ignorance with an obvious question about who the Lord was. So who the Lord means by one's neighbor. So the Lord did not tell him the way to life, but instead gave him the law. Now, the answer to this question is as unhelpful to this man's hardened condition as the first about the Samaritan, and certainly not what he wanted to hear. Do you see that the Lord withheld the gospel from this self-righteous man, not because Jesus didn't want to see him saved, but he knew his heart was by the wayside. He wasn't ready to receive it, so he got the law from Jesus instead to convict him. So how do we know as believers, without knowing men's hearts, what questions are to be avoided? Well, for a start, when I ask a question of the Lord, I always wait for an answer. I don't rush on to the next thing. And when I get it, if it was a good question, I take some time to think about it. I meditate on the answer. As I said, when witnessing, you sometimes come across those questions that are asked to tempt you, to catch you out, or to lead you away from the topic. The most pressing topic there is, of course, which is Jesus Christ as Messiah. If an unbeliever who I'm sharing the gospel with doesn't ask questions directly related to that, if they want to labor on science, falsely so called, for instance, or bring up questions of suffering in the world, I recently got a question about an eye-burrowing worm, as if that was somehow evidence against the existence of a loving God, if you can believe that. If they want to bring up such questions about why remote tribes are damned because they missed out on having the gospel, like it's some kind of salvation lottery. So if I get these questions, I know I'm dealing with someone who doesn't really want to be saved. And I'd end up talking till I was blue in the face, explaining what the word of God has shown me about such things because I've believed in Jesus Christ. If I start getting those questions, I pray to God for patience and meekness, but loved ones, I don't hold my breath. I don't cast my pearls before swine. And this is Paul's warning to Timothy not to allow questions to come to strife. But better to end the conversation with the law. Let them meditate on that rather. You can be sure that a soul truly convicted and seeking Christ won't waste time with foolish and unlearned questions. Amen. We'll close in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's pray.